work our way through 2 Timothy chapter 4 and get to the end of 2 Timothy, the end of chapter 4, the end of Paul's life, we've now come to a point where the charge has been given, the instructions have been given, and Paul's going to start talking with a lot of personal pronouns. We're going to talk about himself and his situation. He's going to talk some about arranging some things as far as friends and enemies are both concerned. And he's just tidying up. In verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That statement has such declarative finality to it that I'm supposing he knew the hour of his execution. Men on death row, they're told. So I'm supposing there is no historical documentation of what happened with Paul. When you think you're reading historical documentation, you'd better read the preface of the book you're reading, because likely it is fictionalized.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is commonly said Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. There's not one scintilla of evidence that that ever took place. It is commonly reported that the Easter Bunny puts eggs in your yarn, all
yes,
different colors.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to churches, largely, to learn truth. Sad to say. But here he is, and he's now ready to be offered. The time of his departure is at hand. Wouldn't it be nice to know what that day is going to be? Some folks, I suppose, would rather not. But it seems to me the hardest part sometimes in life, so many things, is not knowing.
Yes.
I've seen people go through hard times, and the hardest thing about their hard times is not knowing when they're over.
Yeah.
You think you've reached bottom, and the light there at the end of the tunnel turns out to be an oncoming freight train.
Yes.
And there's more trouble coming.
Yeah.
So knowing, I enjoy knowing. Paul, arguably the greatest man on this side of the cross, is about to be offered, but that's not a new concept. He lived a life as an offering.
Yes.
In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he talks about being offered upon the sacrifice of service. The concept of being crucified with Christ, if we get hold of that, Galatians 2:20, then are we not part of that same offering? Are we not part of that crucifixion? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And shouldn't we reckon that to be so in our lives? Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the so-called love chapter, talks about doing some things, and he says, although my body be burned, oops, he was never selfish about his life or how long it would be. He was always willing to give for others. In the spirit of Romans chapter 12, in the first three verses, I've said for quite a while now that Romans chapter 12 is not me going up to some Baptist altar at the end of some revival meeting and saying, look at me, I'm giving myself. Rather,
amen,
it's me in him crucified. He's the living sacrifice.
Yes.
So my life, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, needs to be hidden in him. Then I'll get Romans 12 right. It's not about,
yes,
look at me, I'm a great saint of God. It's look at Christ and I'm in him. He's the living sacrifice,
yes,
and I'm in him. See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So then in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, Paul calls himself the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and that as an offering up to the Gentiles. Do you suppose if Paul had been given a choice in Acts chapter 9, mm-hmm. he'd have said, yeah, I'll take that. I'll go to the Gentiles.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 9 screams his heart's with his own people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he goes to people he's not fond of.
Right.
Yeah.
And he then is a sacrifice to Christ in doing that for them.
Yeah.
And in Romans chapter 16, verse 4, he talks about those who have laid down, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom I now only give thanks. People are, in modern day Christianity, of an opinion that Christianity is a joyful, self-affirming, positive self-affirmation, loving festival of just caring. All sounds good, but we're supposed to be at war.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize when President 43, the W, called it a war on terror, he was being coy, because terror is not an enemy. Terror is a tactic.
Right.
Terror is something you do. It's a ploy. They've just released some of the things that were in the writings and notes of Osama bin Laden. Just came out last week. Calling Bush a crusader.
Mm-hmm.
Bush, September the 13th, gave his TV talk, and he three times used the word crusade.
Yeah.
Hmm. If you have any historical recollection that goes back further than, say, last week,
yeah.
you know that there was a Roman Catholic Church running crusades.
Oh, yes.
Killing Muslims, among others.
Yes.
Hmm. So we don't have the guts to say we are at war against the doctrines of the Muslim people when they go and believe that book.
Yes.
We're at war with that.
Yes.
We, as a people, we don't have a book.
No. Shame on us.
The leading Christians don't leave the book in front of them.
No, they don't.
So, we're ill-equipped to fight somebody that's stridently doctrinal.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
Well, when you pit two people against each other and you got one of them is pit bull mad and the other one says, I'm a cop, and you all have a nice the pit bull wins.
Oh, yes.
The so-called peaceful Muslims aren't Muslims according to the Muslims.
That's right.
That's right.
As I would say, the Episcopalians and the Catholics aren't Christians.
Yes.
That's right.
So they have that similar demarcation. So we just tell a lie. It's a war against terror. Now, for the last 3 years, you haven't heard that.
No.
We don't call it a war on terror. Well, okay. It was disingenuous to start with. At least we stopped that. But now it's a police action.
Yeah.
Closed Guantanamo, still open. Not going to try and take them to New York or take them back to Guinea.
We don't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a man to know. Eric Holder says the right thing is to bring them to the place that they damaged. Bring them back to New York City. And Ali Sheikh Mohammed, you try him here. Rudy Giuliani had a whole litter of kittens
mm-hmm.
when he heard that. Mm-hmm. There'd be riots in the streets, there'd be terror, there'd be... If you paid the guy to know, to make the decision, and he comes out and says something that is that wrong, pay another guy.
Yes.
Move on from that one. We don't know what we're doing.
No.
Our leadership doesn't know enough Bible to get out of its own way. And I'm talking from the president right on down to the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they don't know what the issue is.
That's it.
We're fighting the terrorism executed by extreme Muslims, aberrant. They couch it in that kind of language. Folks, they're doing what they're taught by Muhammad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing what they're taught by the imams.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We can't do what we're taught from the Bible because nobody believes the Bible anymore. Everybody loves Darwin.
Yeah.
So there's a war going on.
Yes.
Paul was fighting it. Most of Christianity today doesn't know it. He's about to be coming to the end of his life on this earth. He knew he was going to die. Very few people in your Bible did. Peter knew. Christ, of course, announced it. There's a time of departure for each and every one of us. And Paul says a marvelous thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands. You know, the next funeral you go to, see if they read this passage. Because this would be a good passage to read at a funeral, rather than Ecclesiastes 3 and Psalm 23.
Amen, amen.
Well, there's a time to plant, the time to sow. Yeah. Give me a break. Desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful to know what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. This is going to dissolve. It's worm food. It's fodder for the soil.
Yes.
But not your soul. And the change that takes place, very well described in some exquisite detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 and on, is what Paul is facing. Now, I know these verses and I know what's going to happen, but I've never done it.
Yeah.
So, I'll be glad when the deed is done. Then there won't be any mystery left to it. But, no question, God has provision for me in Christ Jesus. So, Paul, offering himself in Christ Jesus, is about to be offered. And he's complete in Christ. He knows some things. Verse 7, a clarion call verse. He fought the good fight, and I've made the point, and I need not make it too many more times, that most of Christianity doesn't even know there is a fight to fight.
Yes.
I fought a good fight. Christians are some of the thinnest skinned, wimpiest crybabies on planet Earth.
Have
a nice day. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Christians don't know there's a course to run.
No.
They think God has predestined everything.
Yeah.
Paul has a course and he finished it. Satan has a course, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and let's not get on that one. Let's stay on our course.
Yeah.
Simple. See souls saved, get saints edified.
Amen.
Press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and do it with a smile on your face and everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So here comes Paul. Fought the good fight. I'm supposing that fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, and finishing the course would be a very simple menu for each of us to consider. It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, what am I fighting? I'm fighting those who oppose my Savior's payment for their sins.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Buddhist or Hindu or Catholic. I don't care if it's a confused Baptist or Methodist. I don't care if it's Richard Dawkins. I'm here to fight that. Christ did die for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fight to be fought. My fight does not involve the homosexuals parading themselves around in their skivvies in San Francisco.
No.
My fight engages one of those folks at a time with the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Hoping and praying to see souls saved. My fight is not about making certain that the Green County Courthouse still has the Ten Commandments outside the west door.
Yes.
So, there's a lot of fights you can fight. They're the wrong fight.
That's it.
Christians are fighting to put Christ back in Christmas. He was never there in the first place.
Amen, amen.
The Mass of the Christ is about eating a cookie.
Yeah.
A magic cookie that transubstantiates and becomes the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine, folks. I'm not making it up. It sounds Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, but transubstantiation is the corporal very Christ. Which then you, of course, digest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens after 3 days? Sometimes you have to be indelicate to make a point. Putting Christ back in Christmas? Hey, he was born in late September.
Yeah.
Right now, the cause du jour is to boycott Home Depot.
Yeah.
Home Depot in every Home Depot restroom for the employees in every store requires that there be a poster that's produced by GLAAD to explain to the Home Depot employees how gay, lesbian, transgender, and weird dudes are all acceptable.
Yeah.
They are stridently engaged in so many gay pride things that they were laughingly called Homo Depot, and the president said, that's good, I like that.
Yeah.
If Home Depot went out of business, do you suppose you would actually impact people's thinking or calcify them in opposition to you?
Yeah.
You'd be going with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, regardless of the mess that you might be surrounded with, go in with the gospel. So many of these wrong fights. All the month of December
on the Christian channel, Fox News,
here's a Roman Catholic guy who's their number one broadcaster for as long as it's been a Fox News. I'm number one. I'm humble. I'm number one, have been. No, right, right.
Yeah.
How many times has he said, been number one? Let somebody else say it once. And our gift this month is a doormat that says, keep Christ in Christmas.
That's good. Wipe your feet on the Lord. That's
fight the wrong fight.
Yes.
Getting all exercised. Now, I believe this, and you believe what you want to, but you will anyhow. I believe that's called triangulation. You got the preacher who doesn't want to preach because they've got itching ears and they ain't gonna listen. Yeah. If you get too close to home with them, they'll quit being Church of God and they'll become Church of Christ. Or they'll leave you. So, you've got the congregation
that now has itching ears and won't listen.
Yep.
So you'd better not preach issues relevant to them.
No.
You triangulate. And you preach about something that effectually you can't do anything about it.
No.
Amen, preacher, I'm going to Lowe's.
Yep.
He really preached today, didn't he? See how it works?
Oh, yeah.
When I was raised up, just beginning, they said that. So that's what they call that preaching to the air conditioner.
Yeah.
The air conditioner goes up there and preach with that. You don't want to hit anybody down here because they'll get mad at you and quit tithing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you preach to the air conditioner.
Yeah.
And it goes right out the vent.
Yeah. Yep.
Paul talks about finishing, and he's finishing his course.
Yes.
You need to find out there is a course. It's Christ's course. It's what he would have. It's Galatians 2:20. It's his life, not yours. So it's not about you saying, I wonder what I should do next. It's rather addressing everything in your circumstances according to Galatians 2:20, thinking, I'm here as his ambassador. So there is a race to run. It's a sprint for some, but I think for most of us, it's a marathon. It's a long grind at times. We don't win for the applause of others. We don't run it so that we can run around the track with an American flag draped on our shoulders, which I really don't like seeing. That's a flag. There's ways to handle the flag. There's a whole book you can read.
Yes.
Proper care of a flag.
Yes.
It's not a robe. It's not a bicycle seat. It's not a pair of shorts. We don't run for that kind of adulation. We run under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So, our purpose in running the course is not to be seen of men. A lot of times, folks will dislike you for what you do.
Yeah.
Particularly, the more you do right, the less that you're going to like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, in this passage, in verse 7, talks also about, I've kept the faith. In the grace movement that needs to be addressed, this is about the faith.
Yes.
There's a doctrine taught that when you read the terminology, the faith of Christ, based having faith. Now, I would have to ask, in what? To what end? To what? The Creator God of the universe. I believe he's omniscient, omnipresent. I believe he's self-reliant. I don't have to exhibit or need for him to have faith in anything external. Is everything.
Yeah.
Of him, all things he's going to have faith in. He's done an awful job, particularly in his Galatians commentary, where he's got a whole section about the faith in Christ. And there's times when Pastor Stan writes as if a person would speak with a mouthful of marbles. You read a bunch of words. Where did he go?
Yes.
What did he say? And that's what he does with the faith of Christ. I'm going to tell you pure and simple. I believe the faith of Christ is not Christ having faith in something outside himself, apart from himself. It's not that Jesus trusts the Bible. Which is what Richard Jordan would teach. I'm going to say Jesus is the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1. Rather,
I'm going to say that when Paul says he has kept the faith, Paul has a body of doctrine delivered to him by Christ.
Yes.
Not by Jehovah, not by Moses. And that body of data Christ delivers to Paul, I'm going to say that's the faith of Christ.
Yes.
So, like the old song, Faith of Our Fathers Burning Bright, it's a matter then of understanding, it's a doctrinal difference that Paul is bringing out, rather than throwing on Timothy as he's about to die this business of Jesus having faith in something beyond himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think Cornelius Stamm and Richard Jordan agree on very many things. That's why Stamm fired Jordan. But they agree on this one, because they both lean for this business of Jesus having faith in something else. Either he's the fullness of the Godhead or not, and of course Pastor Jordan does not believe that he is. He teaches deity in Matthew, Mark, and John, which is a wrong perception. We need to look for a second at Romans chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all men, and upon all them that believe.
Yes.
Romans chapter 3, verse 25 follows, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, does not Paul instruct Israel that the sins that had gone before had been dealt with by Christ?
Yeah.
And of course, now we know propitiation, Romans chapter 4, by Christ. So, I'm not going to take Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and make it Jesus having faith in something else.
No.
Because it doesn't fit the sentence.
No.
Galatians 2:16 is where Stamm runs rampant in his commentary in Galatians 2:20, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Well, what was the works of the law? That was faith under a different program.
Yeah.
That was faith under Jehovah. That was faith following Moses. But by the faith of Christ, he believed in Jesus Christ, so we might be justified. We're justified by Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Christ. We're justified by grace through faith. We're justified by believing in Jesus, believing in something else. It won't work. The dog won't hunt. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But the life I live now by the faith of the Son of God. Really? Jesus has faith. Something else, and that's what I'm trusting. No. It absolutely isn't, because before that clause and after that clause is clearly not. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, to say that that is Jesus having faith in something else, the promise is in Paul's information to understand how everyone is deified by Christ. Paul does.
Yes.
So again and again, I'm comfortable of Christ, who is all in all.
Yes.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily and complete.
Amen.
Now the Lord Jesus Christ came to the Apostle Paul and imparted doctrine to the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to say that that body of that doctrine, that Pauline information, you could call and be right the faith of Christ that he delivered to the Apostle Paul. The faith of Israel under the law is a contrast to the faith of the Jehovah program, the Moses program. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. And you realize the significance of 20 there in Acts chapter 20, verse 20? Paul, ever in your Bible, who could say, I kept back nothing, because he knew it all.
Yes.
Jesus kept back one piece.
he has not shown to declare to you, unto you all.
Acts chapter 20, verse 27.
All.
Peter couldn't do that. James couldn't do that. John couldn't do that.
You don't get all.
Get Paul. That body of data constitutes the faith that Christ delivered to Paul. Dependent on Jehovah.
I'm not going to have Christ. Well, he read the Bible, so he knew what was coming.
You get into a parsing of the attributes of deity and that stuff. And Jesus could do that stuff. I got two gods now. Well, let's see. This one's more important than that one. And you wind up with the liberal men totally out there. Next step. He's just a man. But he had godliness in him. And he lived such a good life. He became as a god, just as was promised in Genesis.
Who said he shall us?
Satan. The Mormon Church.
Yeah.
That is running a man for president.
Yep.
He shall be as gods.
Mrs. Romney, you're up on the stage a lot now helping your president. That's nice. Has he agreed to let you into heaven yet?
The other shoe's going to drop, folks. If you didn't like Barack Obama, you got 5 years of wait. It's going to be Hillary time. I watched the Libertarian Convention yesterday. That whole just glued to C-SPAN. Watching the Libertarian Convention yesterday.
Sparkling.
There's never going to be any hope come out of Washington, D.C. Give up. Seek soul saved and saints edified.
Amen.
There's your course.
Amen.
There's your fight to fight. Keep that
faith. Amen.
We'll stop. Amen.
Amen. Amen.